But be thou vigilant, labor in all things, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One person once commented to me that I seem to like to preach of a certain theme, namely obedience, since I talk about it so often in my sermons. I had not realized that I do this, but I guess it's correct, since for today's sermon, instead of the great soldier against the Arian heretics, Saint Hilary of Poitiers, I picked to tell you about another saint who was commemorated yesterday, that of Saint Veronica of Milan, a nun who lived in Italy in the 15th century. For Saint Veronica of Milan was always most diligent and tireless in her work, and so obedient to her parents and masters, even in the very smallest things, and so humble and submissive to her equals, that she seemed to have no will of her own. So there was no way I could let her go unnoticed. I have lately told you about many saints who were of high society, noble of birth, and who willingly distributed their wealth for their lesser fortunate brethren. But Saint Veronica could boast of no worldly advantages, either by birth or fortune. Her parents maintained their family by hard labor in a village near Milan, and were both very pious, although very poor. Her father had a great reputation of honesty, for he never sold anything without carefully instructing the buyer about every fault which might not be visible outside the product he was selling. Because he was very poor, he couldn't give his daughter Veronica any schooling, so that she never even learned how to read. But what was even more important than education, his own and his devout wife's example and fervent, although simple, instructions tilled Veronica's heart from the cradle with lively sentiments of virtue. So from her infancy, Saint Veronica applied herself to continual prayer. She was very attentive to the instructions given in the catechism, and, as said, she always fulfilled her duty in work and chores most diligently and tirelessly. Her food was coarse and very sparing, and her drink the same which the poor people used in that country, namely only water, except when she, for special occasion, received little bit of milk. At her work, Saint Veronica conversed in her heart with God, and this she did very lively and joyfully. When she was weeding, reaping, or at any other labor in the fields, she always tried to work at a distance from her companions, so that she could entertain herself more freely with her God. The rest admired her love of solitude, and if they needed to talk to her, they always found her face shining cheerfully. But if they managed to court her unnoticed, they also saw it often bathed in tears, though they did not know why this happened. So carefully did Veronica conceal what passed in her soul, and which was known only between her and God. Following these intimate conversations with God, Saint Veronica had a great desire to become a nun in the poor, austere, and edifying convent of Saint Martha, which was a part of the order of Saint Augustine in Milan. After 3 years of preparation, she was admitted to the religious habit in St. Martha's. There, Veronica's life was entirely uniform, perfect, and fervent in every action, and she was no less than a living copy of the rule, which consisted in the practice of evangelical perfection, reduced to certain holy exercises. Every moment of her life, she studied to accomplish it to the least detail, and she was no less exact in obeying the order or direction of any superior's will. She always wanted and desired to spend as much time as possible in the church, in front of her Lord Jesus. But whenever she could not, because of her duties, to obtain a leave to watch in the church so long as she desired, she reminded herself the example of Christ, that obedience is a sacrifice the most dear to Christ, who, to obey his Father's will, came down from heaven, becoming obedient even unto death. Veronica finally got ill, and very badly so, but all that time she would never exempt herself from any duty of the house or part of her work. Of course, her superior said that she could slow down a little bit because she didn't seem to be very well. But her answer always was, "I must work while I can, while I have time." It was her delight to help and serve everyone. She always sought with admirable humility the last place and the greatest modesty. It was her desire to live always only on bread and water. Her silence was a sign of her recollection and continual prayer. And her silence was flourished with her great gift of abundant and almost continual tears. She nourished her tears by constant meditation on her sins, on the love of God, the joys of heaven, and the sacred passion of Christ. She finally died at the hour which she had foretold, in the year 1497, when she was 52 years old. Her sanctity was confirmed by many miracles. Pope Leo X approved her as blessed in 1517, only 20 years after her death, and her feast was inserted in the Roman Martyrology in the 18th century. The life of Saint Veronica of Milan shows very clearly that Christian perfection consists very much in the performance of one's regular daily duties. God, as the good Father, and great master of the family of the world, allots to everyone his proper place and office in it. So we have both kings and subjects who depend upon each other, and it is the command of God that everyone performs well the part which is assigned to him. It is then by the constant attendance on all the duties of his state that a person is to be sanctified. By this, all his ordinary actions will be agreeable sacrifices to God, and his whole life is a continued chain of good works. It is not only in great actions, but in all that we do, and in every moment, that we are bound to live to God. Therefore, today's saint, the great Saint Hilary, teaches, when the just man performs all his actions with a pure and simple view to the divine honor and glory, as the Apostle admonishes us, his whole life becomes an uninterrupted prayer. And as he passes his days and nights in the accomplishment of the divine will, it is true to say that the whole course of a holy life is a constant meditation on the law of God. God bless you. In the name of the Father,